Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there, out there, out there, out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
I've heard the term before, and I'm pretty sure I know what it is, and some of you maybe aren't familiar, but there's a term called walk-ins. And this happens when one soul leaves while a person's body is still here, and another soul steps in. And then some people would might get freaked out by that, but from what I understand, it's a pretty natural thing, and it's a choice, and it's always agreement. I have somebody who is a walk-in, and she believes that she came in fully aware. And she knows that, I'm sure. Carrie Chapman is from Lake Mills, which is near Rock Lake, Wisconsin. She runs the Namaste Retreat Center. And she has a website called namaste-wi.com. She's my guest this week. I wanted to see what it's like. And I guess it's no different than anybody else being a walk-in. I mean, you're not born. You just come into it. How are you doing, Carrie?
I'm doing great, TJ. Thank you for having us on today.
Well, you're more than welcome. How long have you been at near Rock Lake, at Lake Mills there? How long have you been
here? I've been here at Namaste Center for 19 years now.
19 years?
Yes.
Now, you have quite a story to tell. Tell us a little bit, if you can, about how you're a walk-in into this body. This is not your original body.
I consciously walked in 1982. First, let me explain a little bit about the walk-in transformation. And we ask everyone to please discern, filter everything we say through their own heart knowing. And if it feels as a truth, great, take it and run with it. If it doesn't, simply release it and let it go or store it for future reference. Basically, TJ, we're all walk-ins. All right, if we want to get down to the basics here, a soul or a spirit will enter a body, usually during conception, or just prior to birth. Whereas a walk-in will enter a body with agreement with the born-in soul at a later time in the lifespan. I entered the body in 1982 with agreement with the born-in soul. Now, it is my understanding that walk-ins are all a part of the same oversoul, higher self, monad, or grouping. So, I'm a part of the oversoul, higher self, of the born-in. And this was agreed upon before she was born into the body, before I walked in the spirit realm, this was agreed, that I would come in and release her to go home at a certain time and a certain date and come in and resume the contract. I had to finish her contract up, which was raising two daughters, and I did, before I could even get started on mine. And I came in totally conscious. In fact, from what I understand, I was one of the very first ones to come in at a conscious level. But now there are more and more taking place on the planet coming in conscious. It was part of the old belief system that walk-ins would have to come in either either through a near-death experience or an accident or an illness. Well, now that humanity is raising its consciousness, that's no longer true.
So it can happen to anybody, especially if it's an agreement. And what if I change my mind tomorrow and I said, you know, I just don't want this anymore? Could you do it on the fly?
Absolutely. About 85% of all walk-ins right now, it's all agreed upon. But there are always exceptions to the rules. That's why it's so important that one learn how to communicate with the soul and also access the soul records, which are called the Akashic Records, because it's all right there. It is always, always, always free choice, free will. You can always back out of the contract. You've got free will. So 85% is agreed, and about 15% is potential suicides. Right now on the planet, just last week, I had 6 people contact me, all within a 2-3 day time frame, all light workers, all on their contract, all awakened, saying, you know, I just can't do this anymore. It's become too difficult. I'm not making abundance. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing and nothing's happening. And they all requested walk-ins. But even at that time, if you access the Akashic Records, it will be in the record. So absolutely you can back out.
Okay. And you can make a decision to check out if you want. It's like being at the hotel. I think I'm going to check out now.
Hotel California?
Yeah, maybe that's what it is, but you can never leave. So,
but also know when a person, what happens with us during our counseling of walk-ins and walk-outs, is when a person does decide that they don't want the walk-in, 99.9% of the time, it's because they've worked through their problems or their situations. And then we will do what's called an overlighting or a blanketing of energy from their soul and their angels and master guides, teachers, to overlight them or blanket them to help them during this time of difficulty.
When you came in, and you said it was, what, 1982? Is that when you came in?
Yes.
When you came in, did you have memory of the person, Carrie, I guess Carrie's life? Did you have memory of her life prior to 1982?
Absolutely, because I'm a part of the same soul. That's a very good question, TJ.
Yeah, I'm just thinking.
Absolutely, but one of the hardest, most difficult, things to work through as a walk-in is being able to release from the cellular memory those things which are not to the walk-in's highest good. So when a person walks in, the first thing we need to do is do a cellular release process to release all those things which are not to the highest good of the new walk-in, but retain all those things which are to the highest good of the walk-in. Let me give you an example. My born-in soul, Carrie, with a C, was an entertainer and a singer. Well, I retained those gifts because now I do healings through toning. So I retained those memories.
But
of course, I retained the memories of the genetic family. I needed to raise 2 daughters.
Mm-hmm. What about the daughters? How do they feel about this?
Well, they knew I was a walk-in, and they absolutely knew that there was a change. When I walked in, there was a change in personality. I was on a mission to serve and do good and to do right. The born-in soul, she was in a distressed level trying to create a suicide to leave. So there was a dramatic shift in personality. So I sit down and talk to my daughters and explain to them, I'm still your mom. I'm just a higher aspect of the same soul.
That's really neat. So it's really that you're just a higher aspect of the same soul, but it could be somebody, could be a completely different soul that could walk in sometimes, right?
Well, I very seldom see that. Out of 22 years of helping walk-ins in and out, and I have thousands and many, many, many in the last 6 months, I've only seen once a complete new oversoul coming in.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Huh, that's interesting. You even have stats and everything. That's what's cool about this.
You have to I'm a healer. And when you're bringing new processes into the planet, I was told I'm a record keeper. Mm-hmm. So I need to keep records of everything, yes.
So people, there might have been a time in our group, in our society, when they would have looked at as walk-ins as being like somebody that's possessed. And I you said to me, there's a more and more and more doing this because of the great change that we're going through right now, right?
Yes.
And so more light, more aware beings are coming to the planet because there's this huge shift, and it's really, It's in its upswing right now, isn't it?
Absolutely. And walk-ins are coming in aware and conscious to the fact that they're here to help with the Great Awakening taking place on the planet. So they do not need to go through the learning of a child. They can come in and get right on the path and start helping. 98-99% of all walk-ins that I've been in contact with and helping with have a great desire to serve, to help others, to be in service.
How do you know? Is it possible you could be a walk-in and not realize it?
Absolutely. If, I've done many readings, Akashic Record readings, and I get into the records, and immediately it says, they're a walk-in, here's the date, here's the time, here's the place that it took place. I mean, that's the beautiful thing about being in the Akashic Records. It's specific.
Tells you everything.
And then I immediately ask, am I to tell this person? And they might say no, and I'll say, why? I'll ask why. Well, because they're not ready to hear the truth. So we got to do the baby steps first. Get them stabilized, you know, give them some things to do. And then when their emotional body is ready to hear the truth, then we'll bring it in.
How many, I don't know if you have this breakdown, how many people out of 1,000 or out of 100 or, I mean, how often does this happen, walk-ins? Do you know how often this is going on? One out of 100,000? I mean...
Well, right now, I would say in the last... Hold on, I'm listening to Spirit. Okay, thank you. In the last 6 months, we would say 15 to 20 out of 100 are walk-ins. That's how many are taking place right now.
Wow, that is a lot.
I mean, it's just, it's amazing. It's amazing. And again, basically, we're all walk-ins. It's
right.
Just, you know, the size of body that we're walking into.
You know, I wonder how many people, you know, because this is what's happened to me a little bit, is that there was a time I just wasn't as aware, and then it's like something just clicked one day.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I left and something else came in, but it's like, I guess something like that could happen and you wouldn't know it, would it?
Well, that's why it's important that you communicate with the Oversoul and access the soul records. And also, it's very important to know the difference between a walk-in and a soul merge. Everyone on the planet, whether they're conscious of it or not, aware of it or not, are receiving soul energies, soul merges. And what that is, that's an aspect of the soul merging with and joining the personality and the body. Now, from what I understand, we want to merge with all levels of our soul, which is 144 aspects. We have to do that before we can go through the ascension. All aspects of the soul have to be one. Now, the only difference between a soul merge, which is great transformation also, and a walk-in is this. A walk-in, with a walk-in, eventually the born-in soul will leave. With a soul merge, they all stay together and merge as one.
That's interesting. That is really interesting. So... this is happening a lot, and of course, what is the goal? I mean, I obviously know in my heart, but what is the goal that we're all trying to do here with the light workers?
Oh, wow. How much time do we have? it just, I had to take a deep breath because my heart, I immediately went in my heart. Well, there's a great awakening taking place on the planet, and that's everyone awakening to who they are as divine beings.
Right.
We were asked in the higher levels, the higher dimensions, who wanted to sign up and go down to Earth, this beautiful planet, and literally help humanity raise their consciousness to become divine beings, to raise the energy, not only for humans, but all life on the planet and including Mother Earth. Now let us explain. I'll try to briefly do this. Mother Earth and humanity was no longer on a destruction path.
Mm-hmm.
The Earth was in a bad way, the way we were treating her. Humanity, war, destruction, famine, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We needed to come and save this planet, not only the planet, but the human species. Why? If you think about it on a larger picture, on a really galactic, angelic picture, you've got Mother Earth here. Let's just think of the planets in our solar system, the universes and omniverses and galaxies. If this planet was going to self-destruct, which we thought it was on a path of that, it is no longer, then if this planet was going to self-destruct, it would affect every other planet in this solar system. So that's why there's so many people here and beyond that are invested in saving this planet.
Hmm. And wasn't, because I've heard this before too, Carrie, we've been kind of living in decadence and maybe controlled by some of the same energies that we all are. We're all the same thing, but some that have maybe not been of the light. And this only changed because we wanted it to change.
Absolutely. We consciously chose, not only as individuals, but as a collective, as a human species, to change that.
So
part of the awakening is us, each individual, coming into self-empowerment. Not, I got to word this correctly. Hold on.
It's okay.
Not believing that we have to go to others for our own guidance.
Mm-hmm.
We don't. You've got a direct line and link to Source. You do not need to go to others.
And that's
so, yes, there are energies on this planet that want to keep us in fear,
mm-hmm,
and in control, or they can control the human species. So with the awakening, there are energies that do not like that because, oh my gosh, God forbid that we become self-empowered.
Well,
and we're no longer in fear.
They've had control, some people say, for a very long time, and maybe going back to the last cycle of 26,000 years. And it's almost like an agreement. That's what I've heard. I've so heard so many different things.
So what are you asking?
So what am I asking? I'm asking that now is a time when the energies, the divine feminine, are coming forward and we're balancing out again. It's like a cycle that we've gone through.
Absolutely. It's called the Great Awakening.
Okay.
You're awakening to the fact that you don't need to go to others.
Right.
Everything that you seek is within.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to ask us, what is the one thing, Carrie, if you could only share one thing that everyone needs to seek at this time, and it would be to communicate with their own soul, their oversoul or higher self. Why? Almost everyone on the planet will agree to this concept. We're all here to live our soul's purpose. And if we're part of our soul, which we are, then would it not, dear one, serve our highest good to be communicating with our soul 24/7? Yes. Yes. Our soul knows what's to our highest good. So if we're in constant communication with them and asking them, am I being energetically supported to go to this workshop? Am I being energetically supported to go see this person for a reading or a healing? Am I being energetically supported to read this book, et cetera, et cetera? They will qualify our time and our abundance.
And that's all communicating. How do you go about communicating with your Oversoul?
By making the simple intention to do it. It is universal and spiritual law. The energy follows our intention. So every morning I get up and I say, I make the deliberate and valid intention to not only communicate with my own Oversoul, but everyone else's Oversouls. This is to include all telephone calls, in person, all computers, and in letters. So be it, so it is, and so it has been accepted. I have not communicated with a person's body in 22 years. Why would I want to communicate with a person's body which has all the fear, ego, anger, judgments, doubt, and pain, when I can communicate with their soul, which is free of all of that, and animals also?
So
all we are asking is everyone who is listening here today to test us. We don't expect you or want you to believe what we're saying. But if you test this concept, you will see. If you have a person that you are having difficulty communicating with, before you communicate, you make that intention to communicate with that person's Oversoul and Oversoul only, and you will see a completely different form of communication. Just test it.
And that's what you did before you chose to talk to me, right?
Absolutely. I went into prayer, and I asked to be overlighted with my soul to bring clarity through in a way that everyone would understand. One, that I could interpret, and that I could give to everyone so they would understand. Absolutely. This isn't my work, TJ. This is my life.
Mm-hmm.
This is my calling. So I walk my talk.
That's good. Got to be able to do that, right? Got to walk your talk.
And we do have, I just wanted to briefly bring up, we've got 5 published books. And the beauty about our books, TJ, is they're not books. They're the teachings. They're the teachings of everything that we're talking about now. We've got simple daily prayers and how to meditate, living the law of attraction, everything you need to know about life and how to create the life you want now. That is how I manifested Namaste 19 years ago, before the Law of Attraction or The Secret ever came out. And 3, going home, assisting loved ones and animals to the other side. This is the teachings of Archangel Michael. Walk-ins on Earth assignment. And our latest book, which I'm so proud of, is Creating a New Earth Paradigm for You and Your Animals, Changing Soul Contracts, the Akashic Records. And again, these are all teachings.
Let me ask you this, Carrie. How much longer before we... This is not going to happen overnight, these changes, this awakening, right?
Yes.
How much longer do you believe it's going to take? Or is that a hard answer to come up with?
That's a good question. And I don't think it's a hard answer at all. We believe that the collective has already reached mass consciousness, which is 50% of all light workers now are holding the same intention of the Great Awakening and literally bringing peace to the planet for we can live in harmony and shared power. We believe that we're already in this and have been for years. But we feel by 2015, September of 2015, there will be a great positive shift on this planet if we continue to hold these energies and work on awakening. Work on the awakening and helping others to awaken.
You don't feel that there's going to be any bumps along the way, or will there be?
Of course there's going to be bumps, hon. But let us briefly go there. All of the predictions that was made from Nostradamus, the Mayans, the Aztecs, and Edgar Cayce, It is my understanding that the only reason that God Creator will bring through a prediction or a prophecy is for we as a collective can change the outcome. So they brought through all of these prophecies and predictions of how the earth was going to shift, how the consciousness, there was going to be a lot of earth changes. And we realized as a collective that, oh, we were told this for we could change the outcome. And we have, and we are. Mm-hmm. Yes, there's going to be shifts and changes taking place because there's always going to be those who do not want that to take place.
What's going to happen to them once this shift takes place?
Boy, you're asking some good questions. I love it. I love it. It is our understanding that there is another planet being created much like Earth that's called Polaris. And those people will go there.
Mm-hmm. And so they can play their negative games or whatever?
Absolutely.
You know, that's what I kind of thought. Because I've heard people say, well, they're going to be taken aside and then this, they're going to be reprogrammed. And I'm thinking, free will is never programmed, is it?
No, it is not.
And it's allowed to go because you're still expanding, right? Even if you're
Absolutely.
Not expanding with the light.
It's much like an Earth energy, Polaris. And so, you know, they have the choice. You know, the awakening is inevitable.
Right.
So either you get on with the program or go somewhere else.
You're going to have to go somewhere else because this place is going to change. But all souls, regardless of dark or light, will go on. And at some point, they may or may not choose to return to where they came from.
Absolutely.
And if they don't choose that, it's not a big deal, is it?
No, it isn't, because it's their choice.
Because how else could we expand?
If they want to choose that path, then that's okay for them. It's kind of sad on the soul level, but it just is what it is.
Well, they serve a purpose too, don't they?
Absolutely.
We would not know the light without the dark.
Absolutely.
At least on the physical plane here, right?
And what we suggest for everyone to do, TJ, is one, make that connection to the Oversoul. Learn the ABCs and the building blocks. What I mean by that is learn how to ground, to be connected to this dimension, to now, Earth,
and when
and
you
to your soul.
And when you say ground, what are things you can do to ground yourself?
Well, anchor yourself into Mother Earth. Connect with the center core energy of Mother Earth, and that will keep you in your body. Mm. With the awakening taking place right now, everyone's almost in a bliss or zealous stage,
mm-hmm.
and they're not in their body.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure you've met people that are literally bouncing off the walls.
Right.
It doesn't take a psychic to realize that they need to ground in their body. But it's so awesome being outside the body, they don't want to. But we're no good to anyone or this evolution, or the awakening, if we can't be grounded in a body and communicate in a grounded way.
Hmm.
You need to learn how to open yourself up to spirit and not haphazardly. I guarantee you, there are energies out there that will try to take you off your path. So simply, you know, ask to communicate through the Christ consciousness vibration only.
Hmm.
And do inspirational writing and meditation every day. Your intuitiveness, your gifts, all they are is a muscle. But if you work that muscle every single day, it's going to get stronger and stronger and serve you better.
Now, when you say inspirational writing and meditating, what do you mean by that?
Well, go into meditation and do your grounding processes. Set your energies of intention. And inspirational writing is what others had termed automatic writing,
mm-hmm.
but we term inspirational writing.
Okay.
And there's a process for that, not opening up to spirit haphazardly, connecting with only the Christ consciousness vibrations, and then waiting for a communication to come through. You should use pencil only, not pen, because it's easier for energy to come through wood than it is plastic.
Really? Interesting.
And we have these processes on our website, on the prayer page that everyone can download free, or they can get our books. These processes that we just brought up, the Oversoul Communication, the Grounding, Inspirational Writing, can be accessed and downloaded from our prayer page free.
That's really cool. That is really cool.
Thank you. I mean, you know, we need to make the information and the tools and the ABCs available to all.
Right. I agree with you. And, you know, and it's about teaching and empowering others. Some people have a message out there. Listen to what I have to say, and you need to go through me. And, gee, that's how religions and cults get formed. And I always
like it. And that's when my red flags go up.
Mm-hmm.
If there is anyone, I don't care who it is, that comes to you and says, my way is the only way, run.
Are there several ways, Carrie?
Absolutely. I mean, think about it. There's 7 billion people on the planet. There are millions of planets that we have all originated from. So everyone has their own belief system. Everyone has their own reality. But that's the beauty about it. Everyone brings in a piece.
Mm-hmm.
I've studied about 15, 17 different philosophies and religions. And I guarantee you, TJ, I have found some truth in each one. And I have taken a piece from this one, a piece from that one, a piece from that one, and a piece from this one, and then incorporated and included in my life.
That's great. I think that they all have some truth. They always say there's truth in all things.
Absolutely. But you need to pray for the gift of discernment.
Mm-hmm.
That you can, and please forgive me for being so forward here, but you need to be able to sift, the bullshit.
You know, that's
because
that's,
there's a lot out there.
I think you're right. I agree with you.
Excuse me.
No, don't. I mean, there's just words, right? They don't have any value unless you assign that to it, right?
Absolutely.
But that's what I like about you, Carrie, is that I got the impression you were very straight and to the point.
And we need to be, hon. People just need direct communication, and either they you know, resonate with it or they don't. I'm a master teacher, so I'll never give a whole bunch of hoop, holler, yah, 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 yah. It's just, here it is, and we're done.
So when people come out to your retreat center, what kind of things do you do out there?
Well, we have 5 meditation areas situated on 3.5 acres. We're an interfaith church, so we've got a meditation area with Kuan Yin, meditation area with Archangel Michael, meditation area with St. Francis of Assisi, meditation area with Buddha, and a meditation area with Master Jesus. Master Jesus asked me to start a new church. He wanted me to open a church where all were welcome, that this is part of the new energies for the new earth, a place where everyone could gather, regardless of race, religion, creed, color, or anything else. And that's what we've done.
Hmm.
So we teach everything that we've discussed here today. We teach the Akashic Records and how people can access that and actually become certified in that. We teach meditation. We teach about walk-ins. We teach crystal healing. We teach sound healing. We teach cellular release. We give the tools to empower self here.
That's awesome. That's what it should be all about, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I feel that way too, TJ.
Because there's so many messages coming right now from people that claim to be light workers. And I'm not saying they're not, but it just doesn't seem as clear sometimes. And then it also seems like maybe they have some information and knowledge, and they get a little bit full. Their ego kind of takes over and go, listen to me, everybody. Listen to me.
Yeah.
And they had good intentions, and they certainly probably had, you know, a higher vibration. But once the ego steps in, the vibration kind of lowers again, doesn't it?
Absolutely, and that is a thin line we all walk.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot go to ego and teach through ego.
Mm-mm.
You can't.
Mm-mm. And, you know, you can. I can see it with certain people. It's just that they, you can tell they're almost like seeking attention. And I know they're not maybe doing it intentionally, but that's how sneaky that ego is, so tricky.
Absolutely. And once that ego enters into play, is where you have to be careful, because that is an invite for the energies that are not to our highest good
mm-hmm.
to come in and sneak their energies and messages in. And we need to be so careful right now on the planet, because I guarantee you, the energies that are not to our highest good right now are absolutely throwing everything at us to stop this awakening.
Yeah, that's what I feel too. I really, really feel that. And I felt
mean, they're
that.
On a last-ditch effort, and boy, I'm telling you, they're throwing it at us. But there's nothing to fear, because we have the tools, we have the masters, we have the angels, we have Jesus, we have God Creator.
Yeah.
And we just have to be aware that they're doing it. The energies that are not to our highest good, their greatest power would be to convince us they do not exist.
Mm. And also to keep us living in fear.
Absolutely.
And doubt.
We're doing more exorcisms, full-blown exorcisms right now in the last 6 months than we have in 5 years combined.
Wow. And that's to get rid of the spirits that are around people.
Well, it can not only be spirits, but our exorcisms are to get rid of negative energies, entities, influences or forces, curses, hexes and spells in all dimensions, all levels of the soul, and all parallel universes. This is how specific we work.
So, I guess, you know, one of the things I've done since I started doing this stuff is I've asked the Archangel Michael, because I know he's a protector.
Yes.
I've asked him and the other angels, but especially him, to be around me at all times, and the angels to be in my home and my property, because I know when you start speaking a truth, you become a target, don't you?
Absolutely. Where you find the greatest light, you're going to find the greatest dark, because they want to snuff it out.
Mm-hmm.
And Archangel Michael, my God, do I love him. He's my main guide.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually appeared in the third dimension to me in 1999. And since that time, I've been working with him very closely. Because before I walked in, I was working with him in the higher dimensions. So I do an awful lot of work with Michael, handling the negative energies and entities, influences, and forces. I fear no evil.
Mm. And so just even by asking Michael like that, and angels around you, can help you a lot, I'm guessing, right?
Absolutely. And if anyone wants to learn these clearing prayers, you know, go to our website on the prayer page. It's right there. Now, a few years ago, when I started doing the prayer of exorcisms, I can feel energetically. I read energies. That's all an intuit does, is read energies. And when I would come across someone that I knew something wasn't right, I'd immediately do the prayer of exorcism. And then I was noticing that there wasn't an energy shift. So I immediately went into meditation and go, okay, you guys, what's happening here? Now, all of this that we're about to share, again, is on our website on the prayer page. Master Jesus stepped forward and said, well, the Dark Brotherhood realized that so many people were aware now that they had the authority vested in them to do these clearings, so they had to create a robotic-like type energy to interfere. Now, these robotic, almost like gremlin-type energies do not have emotions.
Hmm.
So the prayer of exorcism was not working on them. So Master Jesus brought through a clearing that would get rid of them. So now we're you know, all good to go. The energies that aren't to our highest good have not created, as far as I know to date, anything else. But we have to be on our toes and ready, because they're going to change it up. So we need to change it up. Do you understand?
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. They're doing everything they can, being as sneaky as they can.
That's why it's important that we are in meditation every day and communicating with our souls.
Mm-hmm.
Because they will always let us know, okay, hey, they've created this. Now here's a new tool, a new process that will, what's the word, that will counter their intentions.
So not only do we can we protect ourselves, but and also realize what's going on, but we also can play a little bit too. This is not all totally serious all the time, is it?
No, it's not. One of the most beautiful things about being on this planet is the human experience.
We're here to have some fun and have joy in our life, aren't we?
Absolutely.
You know, and I look at it like this, and maybe, you know, this is not the same viewpoint, but I think even if I fail, it's not that big of a deal. You know, as far as I'm concerned.
There really is no wrong or right.
I'm going to still go back and be the energy I always was, this big blob of energy.
Absolutely. I'm not perfect, TJ. I make mistakes all the time. But I take responsibility for those mistakes
right.
and correct them.
Right.
There is no, listen to this. There is no wrong or right. There is just the learning experience.
So would you say, since we're having such a great conversation, the reason we came here in the beginning of all this, you know, if you listen to religion, they'll say, well, God created us in his image. And it's like, I think we came here to find out what this was all about, to play. I want to see what that's like being in a physical body. I bet you that's fun. I'm going to go try that out. And that to me seems like the simplest way to look at it, that we're always going to be expanding and wanting to go in other directions. And after we get done here, we're going to go in another place. Who knows how many other things, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's such a, you know, I just lost my best friend, 17 years, Binky. And I really didn't realize how precious being on this planet was until I was outside being with him the last 4 days of his life.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like I'm sitting here with him, and I could smell, I could hear the birds and the crickets and the frogs. I felt the elemental wind breathing on my face, and it was like, oh my God, thank you for this experience.
And now you know Binky's in a better place, right?
Yes, yes.
And he's probably around you still, maybe, in spirit?
Oh, yes, yes. He's come and communicated with me.
And so animals are really, you know, there's a lot of different viewpoints on what this is, what they are, their energies. But
you know, the animal kingdom is evolving, too.
So,
and I've had two animals, literally, that came to me, Binky and my dog before, Daisy, Inu, that came from my system, my planet, to, they literally, it was their contract and agreement to de-evolutionize, to come in an animal body to be with me, because at that time I had a partner. So I'm telling you, my communication, my best communication, is with the animal kingdom, nature, Mother Earth. It's more difficult to communicate with the human species.
Hopefully not the one you're talking to now.
No. I have great hope for humanity, or I would not be here.
So, a couple more questions. What about our space brothers? Do we have? Are they assisting us as well?
Oh, my gosh, yes. It's our space brothers and sisters, our galactic families, that literally help stabilize the planet. They send tethers down. From the motherships, literally, we did a bunch of work a few years ago. I don't know, 7, 8, 9 years ago. I have no time-space continuum. A group of us worked in Hawaii and in Nevada, and I had some here in Wisconsin, and we all connected together with our galactic brothers and sisters, and sent tethers down to help stabilize the California coastline. Hmm. So they are playing a very important role. They cannot have direct communication on the Earth yet because there are energies that would destroy them.
Really?
So, not yet. But many, many, many of us lightworkers that are awakened are experiencing that contact, conscious right. contact.
Physical.
So
yeah.
Their role is vital in our evolution.
And are there any of those that are not necessarily, that don't have our best intentions?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You know, what Spirit says, what Archangel Michael and Archangel Metatron and Master Jesus has told me, and I don't know how to put it in an easier term, you've got your north and south side of every species.
Mm-hmm.
That is why discernment is so important. Opening only to the Christ consciousness vibration. Get familiar with that energy signature. That way you know if any other energy tries to creep in, you'll know. Mm-hmm. Of course there is.
Mm-hmm. So the universe is not completely, you know, all lovey-dovey, hand in hand. They're not all there, right?
No, we've got our north and south sides with every species on every planet, every galaxy, omniverse, and universe.
Hmm. That makes sense to me. That really does. And I can believe that. So let's talk real quickly, and then, you know, you'll come on again, I'm guessing, right?
I hope so.
What would keep you?
What would keep me what?
From not coming on again. You
what
said
would
you
keep me from not coming on your program?
Well, you again? Said I hope so.
Or the only thing that would keep me from not coming on it is my oversoul and spirit said it's not to my highest good.
Okay, I understand.
To do it again. That's the only thing that would stop me.
Because there's many more questions that I would like to ask. But I really would like to ask you about, I know you've talked about pyramids. Is it in Rock Lake? Is that where the pyramid is?
Yes, yes. We've had Discovery down here, CNN, and there is an absolutely wonderful book called The Lost Pyramids of Rock Lake, Wisconsin's Sunken Civilization by Frank Joseph. Let me tell you a quick story here, okay?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I had no idea that I was going to move here. And I lived in Fort Atkinson prior to coming here, which is about 8 miles from Lake Mills. And one day I found my landlord who lived behind us. She had passed away, and her son came to my husband at that time. I'm now divorced, been for 8 years, and said, "Look, you got to move because we're going to be selling this place." And that is literally 19 years ago when I first literally turned my need to control over to spirit and my soul. I had no idea what we were going to do, where we were going to move. We were in the middle of declaring bankruptcy. So that is when I went into meditation. That's when Archangel Michael appeared. That is when I assisted the born-in soul home. And I came in completely to get started on my contract. And I asked the one question, what is the next single thing for me to do or know, for me to be in a state of divine grace? So I started writing out what I thought that it would take for me to be in a state of divine grace. I wrote 2 pages out, and I still have that because everything's been manifested. And at the bottom, I put, I now accept this, or something better,
mm-hmm.
to the grace of God, Creator, and to the highest good of all concerned.
Mm-hmm.
So we were being kicked out, and I'd had an accident about a year, year and a half prior to us needing to move. And I immediately called my lawyer and said, you know, is this going to settle? He goes, Carrie, and this story is on my website. He said, Carrie, this isn't going to settle for at least 5 years. I said, okay. So I went home and started praying again, asking for help, asking for divine intervention. The next day, God as my witness, I get a call from my lawyer And quote unquote, he said, Carrie, I don't know what you did. I did not call them. They called me this morning and wanted to know if you wanted to settle.
Yeah, that's a cool story.
It's the truth. And I said, absolutely. So then it's like, oh my, this is working. So then I went back into meditation and said, okay, now what do I do? And my soul said, okay, we want you to check in these areas, Fort Atkinson and Lake Mills, for places to buy. I've never bought a place before, but I started living co-creation as a way of life and came here to look at this location. And the realtor wanted, I think it was $108,000 or something like that, dollars, and I didn't know what to do, so I went back into meditation and said, how do I do this? And my soul said, okay, you got to figure out your income and, you know, bills coming in, bills going out, and what you can afford, and then resubmit that. So I resubmitted a bid. I think it was at $78,000. And my realtor literally tore up the bid and said, I can't submit this. Mm. And I looked at her and I said, you don't understand. This is my place. Do your job and submit the bid. 2 days later, she called me and almost verbatim said, I don't know what you did, but the bid was accepted.
Yeah.
So with things that my soul and God, creator and spirit has proven to me, how can I not believe in this co-creation,
right,
and the universe and how they work in our life if you're being energetically supported to do something? So that's how it all came about. And then when I first opened the center up, it was called the Prophecy Place in Crystal Palace. And then 2 years later, in meditation, my soul said, we want you to go 501c3 tax exempt. We want you to become a minister so you can serve in more ways and become a nonprofit. So here I go again. How do I do this? And then they said, and by the way, you're going to be changing the name. And I said, what? What will be the new name? And they said, the Namaste Center, because Namaste is a vibration in itself. Mm. Namaste is Sanskrit, and it means the God within me honors and acknowledges the God within you.
Mm.
And when you are in that place of love and light and peace, and I am in that place, there is only one.
Mm.
Namaste.
Wow. So, to get back to the question, and that was wonderful, but the pyramid.
Oh, God, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
I got off on a complete.
That's okay.
So anyway, I moved to Lake Mills, where I am right now. I knew nothing about the pyramids in Rock Lake. So all of a sudden, I was here a couple of months, and all of a sudden, from nowhere, I get a magazine in the mail. And it was a metaphysical magazine, and on the front it said, The Lost Pyramids of Rock Lake. And I mean, every God bump on me stood up. So I immediately read this article, and I'm going, that's why I'm here. My God, that's why I'm here. So I go into meditation, and sure enough, yes, this is why you're here. There's already a vortex that was established at Astolin. We need you to do a mass clearing with the pyramids and the spirits that were put there in servitude to release them and to reopen Stargate 14. You are the third apex of the pyramid to help stabilize the other two and to open up an energy temple here, which is called the Temple of Divine Will, Genesis. And all that's been done. So, yes, there are pyramids there. Yes, it is a very spiritual place. People all over the world know about the pyramids in Rock Lake.
So what are, you know, and I guess my next question was going to be, you see pyramids all over the world. They've been around for a long time, maybe since the beginning. what are the things that pyramids do? Why do we build pyramids?
Well, they can be ceremonial pyramids. There can be pyramids for meditation, connecting with higher energies, burial, ceremonial. There's many uses for pyramids.
Were they used at one time? Because I've had somebody tell me this, because they had a flashback and remembered this. Were they used at one time for powering, to create power for cities?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, the main pyramid at Giza, it's not there no longer, but energetically you could see it, had a cap on it of gold and copper. Absolutely.
What about, and I've heard this before as well, communicating with our space brothers?
Absolutely.
Healing people?
Absolutely.
So building a pyramid, what is it about the pyramid? Because actually, you know what I did, Kerry? A few years back, probably more than that, I built a wooden pyramid.
Ah.
And I put it in my yard. And I just wanted to see what would happen. And then I, you know, weathering kind of dismantled a little bit, but... So is that the purpose for building one? You can get all those different things?
Well, absolutely. It's setting the energy intention, the sacred geometry of a pyramid. Everything within, if you study sacred geometry, everything within a pyramidal configuration does nothing but thrive on the inside. And especially if you make them out of copper, because copper is a conduit. It's an energizer.
Hmm. So if the whole thing is made out of copper...
Yeah, test it. Buy one out of copper or create one out of copper and put a banana or put something in it and set another one outside the pyramid and you will see the difference.
No kidding.
It's the configuration of the sacred geometry.
That's really cool. That's really cool.
But that's just our belief system, TJ.
Right. Well, you know, there's so many things that we don't have answers to, and more and more of it's coming out, and more people are seeing the same thing.
Yes.
Or
and
similar
that's
things.
That's what's so awesome, is when you notice that the teachers and the authors and the healers and the intuits are all sharing the same message, pay attention.
But the thing is,
Go ahead, hon.
I was just going to say that everybody might have a slightly different version. Is that something to watch out for?
But, you know, this happens, but it's a way to reach more people. You can put me in a hearing, let's say we're speaking as a speaker. You can put me in one room and deliver a message my way. You can put another person in another room delivering the same message, but through their verbiage, some's going to resonate with one and not the other. But that's the beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Some will resonate with me and some the other.
So if you were to ask somebody, let's say, about events in the Akashic Records, and you viewed it and came up with one term or one, you know, you let's say I ask you about a previous time, and then somebody else views it and says, no, this happened.
Then I would say discern the messages from both people.
And figure out what
resonates with your heart and soul is truth.
Okay.
And there is only 5% of the entire awakened intuits on this planet that actually access the Akashic Records.
Hmm. And what are the other ones accessing?
The lower dimensions.
Ah.
The lower vibrations.
No kidding.
Only those with utmost integrity are granted by the spiritual hierarchy to access those records. Because they're life-changing for people. I do not take that lightly.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like what you have to say, and I really enjoyed talking to you, and it's really interesting, and I hope your oversoul says, let's talk to TJ again.
Well, my oversoul is definitely saying yes. I can't wait to meet you, TJ. It's going to be a, listen to my words, dear one. It is going to be a wonderful reunion.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Wonder what family picnic you were at.
I don't know. You got to ask yourself.
That's true. Kerry Chapman, she's from Lake Mills near Rock Lake, Wisconsin. the Namaste Retreat Center. And you can find out more about our website, namaste-wi.com. And so much to offer, books and readings, and you can learn a lot. Go check it out if you want. Thank you very much, Carrie.
Thank you, TJ. And we'll be talking to you soon, hon. Namaste.
Music on Out There, created by Kevin MacLeod.